ask somebody who is like, you know, this old, you know, elderly couple, maybe in their 70s or 80s, from England, who had been raised in the Church of England up in this small little area, but they had, you know, real vital faith. And when I was being to talk to them about what they, how they experienced their faith, I found that they experienced their relationship with God in the same way I did. And I thought, how can these couple who was as demographically different than me than is possible, this elderly couple from the thing, and I was like this, you know, at that point I had his head shaved, traveling off in the Far East, running through England, American, San Francisco, hippie-ish type guy. Yet, when we could talk on a level as if we were talking about the exact same thing, I wonder how many other subjects we could possibly talk about which we'd have any kind of agreement. And I realized that the reason why we can talk and experience our relationship in the same way is because our relationship was a reality which stood out before it. There really was a God who was true, and they experienced the same way I did because we both experienced it, because it was the same God, and that gave me such strength that what I believe was true. And the reason I bring that story up is I think it's exciting to have Pastor Kim, who's from Korea, to share with us today, and realize there's not a, you know, there's not a God, there's not a Jew, you know, God of the Jews, a God of the Gentiles, a God of the Koreans, but there's one God. And in the same way in which God has spoken to Pastor Elijah Kim in the middle of Korea is the same way we can experience him here today. Because God is active and living. He answers prayer, he delivers. And I'm especially blessed. I mean, Pastor Kim's one of these guys, the more I get to know him, the higher my estimation of him goes. And I'm a little scared because it's quite high now, so I don't want to go any... And he came. Pastor Kim originally comes from the largest church in the whole world. I think it's the, is it Hoyoto? Full Gospel of Pastor Yongi... Yongi Cho, I'm sorry. And I think, what is it, over 100,000 people, I believe, in Seoul, Korea. And Pastor Kim felt the call of God to go to Philippines, not speaking a language, and I think besides sensing that God wanted him to go there and begin a church. And he went there, and I think it came up to him and his wife, and over 1,000 people today, and he felt the call, because he felt to dedicate his life to the revival, worldwide revival. And just recently, actually, after he left there, his wife is still pastoring the church. To get his doctorate, which he's finished recently in England. And God has led him to Boston, where he feels this is the place to work for that. That would be enough for me, but also, you know, Pastor Elijah, most humble guy you ever meet, he comes out there, and he faithfully goes out there and hands out the tracts with us, goes out to us frequently, and he's got an incredible burden for the Jewish people and to reach out to folks of all nations, particularly Jewish people, which humbles me, that he considered that, you know, he'd be willing to come out with us, which he does so frequently. But I hope that you'll be blessed tonight. One thing that I find far more than any of that stuff is just that he's just one of these guys that the more I'm around, the more I'm convinced I need to get my heart right with God. The more I'm convinced I need to get deeper into prayer. And the more I'm convinced that I need to really seek after God and believe that he can do great things. And so I'm very blessed to have you join us today, Pastor Elijah.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. I'm so honored to have you right now in this beautiful sanctuary and to share with you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I came here all the time, this is the second time. The first time, I was very amazing at the beautiful song, the amazing at the works of the Lord in this church. And secondly, when I came again, same beauty of God, and the beautiful people get together, and Brother Gareth Smith also explained about my story a little bit. So I don't know, you explain everything, and what can I say? But anyway, he summarized all the story, and you know, but I want to share with you a little bit about my personal pilgrimage, so that you may be able to know that our God is the same God. And personally, I believe in God, not because of my fathers or any other persons in Korea, because of the nation of Israel. I always think about the Israelites and the Jewish people. The God has called Abraham, and he promised to Abraham that I will bless you, and those who bless you will be blessed, those who curse you will be cursed. And every nation on earth will be blessed through you. Therefore, I didn't come to Christ by myself. Actually, through Abraham's descendants and through the Israelites, and I was able to come to know Jesus. And nations all over the world, are able to believe in Jesus because of Israel. So this is a beautiful thing. I always remember that, wow, what a wonderful things happen. But it seems to me that many Jewish people do not know the great foundation of blessing on earth. Therefore, I want to remind you are so blessed because you are physically and spiritually descendants of Israel. And I hope that you can bless nation so the nation will come to God and also will have same blessing what you have. So this is the things I want to share with you. May I ask you to open your Bible for a while, okay? The book of Genesis, chapter 12, 1, 2, 3. Yes, this is the Holy Scripture from the Old Testament. Chapter 12, 1 to 3. Let me read it for you. This is NIV. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Amen. Can we pray again? The Lord, we thank you once again for this beautiful day. We give you honor and exaltation through our songs. This is a song of joy. This is really the song of grace and mercy. Father, we thank you also for the beautiful gathering in this holy sanctuary. May your spirit be with us and lead us to glorify your holy name. Use these very humble servants to exalt your name and to glorify your name, not to expose anyone, but your name alone to be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. I was born in Korea from very, very troubled family. My father was drunkard. My mother was unbeliever. She was shamanist, at the same time Buddhist. So if you know that Korea was, we call Farist, therefore, you know, very, very extremely in eastern country in Asia, very far away. So my father is always drinking wine, and you know, my father is a place of hell. So I didn't know there is God, but I know there is hell. You know why? As I look at my family, this is exactly hell. The fighting, the quarreling, unhappiness, you know, poverty, you know, every bad things are in my family. Therefore, I know there is hell, but I don't know there is, you know, heaven. So I do believe, you know, there is something, the worst things in my family. And my father was one of the genius in my country, actually. He was always camaraderie, and he was always outstanding in the school. But when the Korean War broke out, he lost everything. The property, inheritance, and everything he lost. And that time, he became very frustrated and began to drink wine. So my family was really, really, you know, hard. And, you know, there was no any conversation between father and mother and between his kids. So I am the one of them. So, you know, but I didn't know there is God. I didn't know, you know, if there's such a beautiful, you know, almighty being on heaven. But one day when I was 8 years old, I was able to read one story that is coming from the autobiography, and it talks about Jesus Christ. Of course, there are also more people like, you know, Hannibal, you know, Alexander the Great. It talks about also Buddha and Kung Fu. It talks about Muhammad. But one of them was Jesus Christ. No one talks about me regarding the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one also introduced me to talk about Jesus Christ. But by the time I was able to read different persons and great men, and then I was able to compare the Alexander the Great, the Hannibal, and, you know, I was thinking about, you know, Gautama, and, you know, even I was thinking about Jesus Christ, and I was self-examining what is the right person. And Gautama says that before he died, "Don't believe in me," when his disciple asked him, "Master, where is truth? Don't trust in me. I do not know what is truth until you find out the truth. Don't give up. It's very strange for me, right after the story, I was able to read the story of Jesus. And Jesus says that, I am the way and the truth and the life. I was very young, but I was very strict, you know, stricken by these two very contrasting stories. And the way the Gautama approached, very beautiful. It's very attractive. But assurance on truth is not sure for me. And also, the way Jesus, he proclaimed that I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God. And he proclaimed, he did a miracle. So there are very, you know, different things, you know, between two persons. So, and I was deeply sighed. I was young, no one consulted on this, and I cannot distinguish which one is right one. And I sighed and, you know, saw the, I look at the sky and say that if the Gautama is right, tell me you are right. And also another side I say that if Jesus Christ is right, if he claims that his Father is God, the Almighty, tell me you are right. So I didn't know he is God. I didn't know what is the best way that I can know him. And eventually, when I said that, I was able to hear one ringing sound from church, very far away. By that time, Korea, the church was very rare. You know, here in the United States, everywhere you can see church. But, you know, 10 miles away, you cannot find any church there. But amazingly, I was able to hear one singing, one bell from the church. So I followed the, you know, the sounds. And then as I crossed the very highway, I was struck by one car and lost my consciousness. And the people thought of me that I was died or whatever. I was something, you know, heavily injured. After several hours, I don't know how many hours, how many minutes, you know, it you know, it has gone. But anyway, when I opened my eyes, people looked around me and said, "Hi, boy, you're alive. Let's go to the hospital." And, you know, they say that. And, you know, I didn't know. My whole body was trembling. I can't feel any sense from my body. But, you know, I said to them, "Take me to the church." And they thought that I'm a Christian. But, you know, I said, "No, don't take me to the hospital. Take me to the church." And many people said, "No, no. You are not able to walk. You are not able to do anything. You have to go to the hospital." "No, no. Let me go to the church." And they brought me to church. You know, and when they brought me to church, you know, I can't feel anything because, you know, what practice, you know, had happened to me, but I didn't know anything. Only one thing, I want to be very sure. Who is the right person? Gautama, Hannibal, Alexander the Great, or, you know, Jesus Christ. So when I went to the church, there is one young lady who was teaching the kids. And I asked the lady, "Excuse me, may I ask you a question?" "Okay, sure. Do you know who Jesus is?" "Of course I know." And I asked her, "Would you please tell me about Jesus?" "Please come on, boy." And then, you know, the lady embraced me and brought me the first pew. And just he let me sit down. And she explained about Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Son of God. He was incarnated by Virgin Mary, by the Holy Spirit. And he was proclaimed the gospel of the Lord. And he explained exactly the same, you know, story from the book which I have read. But, you know, she always point me, "Jesus is your Savior. Jesus is your Savior, your Lord." And, you know, she pointed me out. And then, I didn't say, but, you know, inwardly I said, "Yes, yes." And then, you know, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, even though she didn't ask me. And then I fell asleep. So I didn't know. My father told me that I slept for 3 nights and 3 days. Without eating, so it's really, really hard. I didn't take any water. I didn't know. Three nights and 3 days, I fell asleep, and then, you know, I was awakened. The life was totally different from that time. You know, every in the morning, I greet Jesus. "Jesus, you are my Savior. Lead my life." what a beautiful things happened to me. And then, you know, I was looking for a church, and very far away, it's a joy to go there. My family looked like a hell, but the church looked like a heaven. You know, my father is not caring me, but my heavenly father always cares for me. And very strange things happened to me. So I began to read Bible, I began to pray, and I began to also evangelize people on the street. And the most of people had lunchbox and money. I didn't have money. My father never took care of me. But you know what happened to me? I was able to walk and distribute newspaper. If I would have money, I gave it to the church, and I evangelized. In the lunchtime in the school, everybody brought their lunch, and they had money, but I didn't have any. So I was crying. How can I have my lunch? I'm a boy. And I sigh, and then I look up to heaven and say, Lord, why don't you give me a lunchbox? And suddenly, I was deeply moved. Son, you don't have money, don't you? Yeah, that's correct. But you have a time. Yes. What can you do? Why don't you share the good news to your friend? Although you don't have money or lunch, but you can share the better things. And he was deeply, you know, inspiring me. And then when my friend taking lunch, you know, I brought evangelism tracts and Bible, and then, you know, I shared the Bible. And then they called me pastor. Though I was 9 years old, everybody, you know, called me, my nickname is pastor. Or someone called me evangelist. So since 9 years old, yeah, I had never stopped evangelizing. You know why? Because Jesus is truly the fountain of joy in my life. And God became my father. So no one talks about me, but I would know that I should do. So that it became beautiful life, and then, you know, I've been praying for 10 years to be a missionary, to go to very far land, you know. And when I was saying, you know, my brother says that he didn't believe in God, he is atheist. And he kicked me out and said that, brother, if you say to me, I will never say you are my brother. And, you know, so he was very strong, and, you know, I was so afraid. But, you know, I said that you can kick me out, but you will never kick Jesus out. So, you know, and he was very angry. And then, you know, he persecuted me for a long time. But my prayer had never stopped. And I said that, brother, you look at the airplane over there. Someday, I will go to many nations and share the gospel all over the world. He said that, you will take a plane? Ha! Only presidents and secretary of the government can take a flight. You are humble boy, how come? And you know, he was really mocking at me. You know what happened? But I have been traveling more than 20 times, circulating on the globe from until today. Not by my money, from his money. It's God has been fulfilled. All the words, what I've said. But you know, I know God very, very, you know, wonderfully. My life is really full of joy because God has never, you know, disappointed me. But something, when I met my wife, something happened in my life. I had an invitation from one church in Sacramento, California. The church asked me to minister. So, if you look at that, you know, Asian country by the time is very poor. Korea was not rich by the time. It's one of the poorest countries. So if you say, someone goes to America, that's a paradise, you know. That's the place you can have the opportunity. That's the place you can get some fortune, as much as you can. Therefore, I was invited. But, you know, I was not able to go. You know why? My wife dreamed a dream. She dreamed a dream. In a dream, I was somewhere in different nation, speaking different language, and proclaimed the gospel. She was very curious in the dream, and I spoke different dialects, different language, and she was seeing some of the streamers in signboard. It's written in English in different languages. So she presumed that this is the Philippines. So when she dreamed a dream, she asked me, "Sirhan, God has never called you to go to America. God has called you to go to the Philippines." And I said, "Ha, God is good God. God will bring me to rich country. Why does he bring me to the very poor country?" So I don't believe so. And she said that, "I saw you in my dream. You proclaim gospel in the street and in plaza and in square, and thousands of people came and shake their hands and exalt the name of God, and you were speaking their language very fluently. I saw you in my dream." That's your dream, not my dream. You know, I was not able to accept that. And then on the second day, what happened to my wife? She dreamed again. It's really striking. She dreamed the same dream, much clearly, much obviously, much more beautifully. She recognized that I was preaching the gospel in Manila, in Zamboanga, and many other different cities. And thousands of people came and proclaimed the gospel. And they also received Jesus Christ. And she tried to awaken me. Sirhan, listen to me. Have you ever dreamed? Yes, I have. And I was inwardly shocked. You know, Lord, why did you give this dream again? I don't like it. I hate it. You know, but she said, "Sirhan, listen to me. I've got the dream again. I know." And she said that you have to go to the Philippines. Did I say to you, I don't like to go? God is same God. If God is the same God, he will tell me. Why does he tell you? You know, it's not right. So she said that, "Okay, but don't worry. God is our God. He will tell you surely." And on the third day, another thing happened. She dreamed the same dream on the third day. Can you believe that? Still today, as I look back the story, you know, it's really amazing. It's really amazing. On the third day, she was awakening me and, Sirhan, did you dream? Yes, I did. And I know what she dreamed. She said that, "I saw, don't say. I know what you have dreamed." But she said that, "Sirhan, give up and surrender yourself before God. God has something. God has called you to do something in the Philippines, not in the States." And I said that, "Okay, that's right. But I'm not ready. God is ready. I'm not ready. You are ready. I'm perfectly not ready." You know, my wife told me that, "Okay, sweetheart, if God is same God, why don't he pray now?" You know, I cannot say no because I'm a minister. How can I say no? So, okay. But reluctantly, I say yes. But, you know, inwardly, no. And as we began to pray, I was, you know, very, you know, murmuring like that, "Lord, tell my wife that the dream is wrong. Tell my wife that that dream is ungodly." You know, I was very, you know, complaining. So much, you know, very much complaining against him, that, "Lord, why did you give this kind of dream? Why don't you give the dream that I'm speaking to the people in America or European? Why to the Filipino?" You know, I was really struggling. And then, as I said, suddenly, some of these sounds, you know, huge mass people cried and waved, and they moan, and their sounds like wave on the ocean. Have you ever seen tsunami? You see the tsunami before coming. There's some sound. Ooh, can you imagine that? Thousands of people cry for help. So I heard, but the sounds is really real words. Pumunta po kayo rito, ari kayo rito, tulungan mo po kami. It's very strange for me. That words, I didn't understand what they say. But you know, so many people cried. The sound, it struck my breast. And deep in my heart, I cried. Someone asked of me. Someone asked me to help. But you know, I was struggling because I'm not ready. And I cried and cried inwardly, but I don't want to show my cry before my wife. Because if I cried, my wife said, look at this, you know, there is God. You know, so I don't want to say. So, you know, I was really struggling and, you know, I don't want to show anything. But in my mind, I was really struggling, you know. Morning, afternoon, until evening, I cried and cried. And as I deeply prayed with my wife, there's some voice came from heaven and it says that, son, what does servants of the Lord mean? What does the servants of the Lord mean? And I said that the servant of the Lord is belonging to his master. So what does he do? If master says go, he goes. If master says do, he does. If master command, he obeys. Are you the servants? Wow. I'm a minister, but I'm not a servant of God. I'm a pastor, I'm not the exactly servant of God. He said go, I didn't go. He said do, I didn't want to do. He said something, Lord, tell my wife the dream is wrong. So, you know, all of a sudden, you know, all things, you know, came to my mind. And he said, wow, I am not a wise person. I repented deeply. The Lord, I have sinned against you. And I cried. By the time my wife looked at me, because I deeply weeping, my wife noticed me that something happened to me. I cried and cried deeply. And that time I realized my life, my time is not mine. My life is for them. Because Jesus gave his life for me, I should give my life to somebody. God has given his only begotten son. He gave his everything to us. And Jesus gave his everything to me. But I'm still holding on my things. So I said, Lord, I want to surrender. And if you say to me, go to the Philippines, and I will say yes. You know, brothers and sisters, what happened to me? All of a sudden, it was 1:30 in the morning. Can you imagine that? I woke up 4:30 in the morning. It was following morning 1:30. How many hours did I pray? For a long time. But 1:30 in the morning, I said to God, the Lord, if you want to send me to the Philippines, say to me, and I will go. And there was a voice. It's like a thunder. It's like a strong voice, but very magnificent. It's glorious voice. I can obviously hear his voice. Son, I am sending you to the Philippines. Go. And then what did I say? I said, yes. But in my mind, Lord, if you send me to the Philippines, what covenants, what promise will you give to me? And I was thinking in my mind, okay, I will give you 20 sponsors from different churches, and I will give you $1,000 every month, and then I will give you so many contacts that will go to the Philippines and do through them. That was my thinking, but the Lord didn't say that. He said, wherever you go, I will be with you. Whatever you do, I am well pleased. So the two words, actually two promises from God, and because of that, and I left everything. My wife, my daughter left in Korea. And I was alone, living for the Philippines. And it was very, very, you know, cold winter season. But, you know, I didn't know where to go, actually. He said, go, like Abraham, go to the land that I'm promising you. You know, Abraham knows some direction, but actually he doesn't know what exactly. Today, you know, the whole world are blessed by Abraham's obedience. But, you know, by that time, it was barren land. Haran, Chaldean Ur, was the place of the civilization by that time. There was, you know, the beautiful city. There was the whole people walk together. Look at the Philistine. That's the barren land. But he said that this is the land that I'm going to give to you, and this is the land that I want to bless you. Who can believe that? But Abraham believed so. Abraham trusted in his word. It's a miracle. For me, it's a miracle. God doesn't say what kind of blessing will He give. He doesn't say that what kind of civilization will stop, but He said that I will bless you and I will make you great and the nation will be blessed and your name will be great. Hallelujah. His obedience was really wonderful. But, you know, as I went to the Philippines, I was remembering the calling of God and also calling of Abraham. But, you know, I didn't know where to go. When I got down, you know, I was really troubled. I didn't have any person or contact there. And I cried out where to go. I was held up by the many, badly people. They got my money from my pocket. And, you know, and I was cheated. And I was troubled. And I cried out, Lord, why did you send me? No sponsor? No money? No person there? In Korea, I have beautiful church. I have your family, but here in the Philippines, I was alone. I cried out, the Lord, why did you send me here? And He said that, son, if you pray unto me, and I will give you those things which you ask me, and whatever you ask of me, and I will answer you. So, by the time, you know, God has given me the sum of things what I'm asking for, so, when I started my first ministry, it was the place in Mount Pinatubo. Have you ever heard Mount Pinatubo in the Philippines? That is, you know, active volcano area. The mountain started erupted after 208 years of sleepiness. So that was what we call worst disaster in the world. The people, you know, became refugees because, you know, they left their house and their property, and I was there. And the Lord showed great things there. I didn't have money. I didn't have any food there. But I prayed that God supplied through native people there. And then, you know, He said that, son, pray for two things. One, for the evangelization of the Filipino, the people and the land. The second thing, pray that you may see two different things in the world. The first one, the fall of European Christianity and the rise of third world Christianity. That's number one. You have to study about it. The second one, the rise of Islamic forces all over the world. So you need to study very carefully. What can I do? And I said that, Lord, what is the best way I can do? And He said that pray from now on. So I did pray for 7 years about that. And you need to go to England so that you can study about two things, the rise of the third world Christianity and the fall of European Christianity, and also the rise of the Islamic force. And, you know, I prayed that, and after 7 years, what happened to me, you know, I went to England, but, you know, I just, same things like what I did in the Philippines, you know, God provided all needs there. Tuition fee, I didn't know anyone. But, you know, when I prayed, God touched somebody in California. He didn't know me, nor I did know him. But, you know, He supplied my tuition fee, my car, house, miraculously. So He prepared every way there. And then, you know, I did my PhD there, but, you know, I studied in Islamic studies there. The Birmingham University was first university to teach about Islamic studies. Judaism was very strong. I studied on Judaism there, classical Judaism. You know, and then I was really surprised. And I had met Professor Jonathan, and he came from Cambridge University. He is atheist, but he's theologian. He can memorize all the book of Psalms, 150 by Hebrew, but he didn't believe the words. He knows every story, but he didn't believe in God. It was a miracle for me. The many theologians there, they know the word of God very well. They don't believe in God. I'm seeing that this is the world. Exactly what he asked me pray. The pole of European Christianity, every university in England, the Cambridge and Oxford and Edinburgh and Durham, Bristol and Birmingham, Manchester, you know, more than half of theologians didn't believe in God in my university. 80% of theologians didn't believe in Jesus. But 20%, I cannot say they are truly faithful Christians. They are still doubting about the truth. Anyway, God let me go there and then start about starting there. But you know, I have tremendous story, you know, but I compress all the story, you know, if I'm saying that maybe you have to hear several days. So about the story in the Philippines, I don't want to say, you know, it's really miraculous way. And God put me to start one of the largest church building there, and also one of the largest ministry. And from nothing, God supplied the needs, and we built up one beautiful church building. I guess the church is probably 7 times bigger than this building. So can you imagine that? From zero to everything by prayer. So same things Abraham obeys. And he made great nation. First one, chosen nation Israel. Through Israel, every nation on earth blessed. So the same things, can you remember that? God start somebody from nothing in order that he can give something to us. So the same things, you know. But when I did my PhD in England, I was tremendously, you know, attracting many different things. You know, the rise of Christianity in the third world, like in Africa, beautiful things. But still, you know, Western world is, you know, stumbling, you know, declining, and all bad things there. And I cried out, is this truly the place where Christianity were flourishing? And as I deeply sighed, the God said to me, son, you have to go to some other nation. And he didn't say where. But I said, the Lord, let me go back to the Philippines. I have been separating from my wife for 3 years because of study. I want to go back. And one day, my wife dreamed a dream in the Philippines. You know, if you say, my wife always dreamed, no. I can say maybe she dreamed a dream once a year, sometimes very rare. But the dream is not like ordinary one. The dream was really, really different one. She dreamed, and I myself, my daughter, only daughter, Shalom, her name is Shalom. Maybe if I say the Shalom, you know, I didn't know her name is, real name is, English name is Shalom, but Aramaic is Shalom, the same root word. Jerusalem, Salem, Shalom, Shalom, same root word. But I didn't know about it. Actually, God has given me a name. So your child will be called Shalom. That's why I've got the name before my wife was pregnant. Can you imagine that? So she was born after, you know, the name was given. So anyway, my wife, my daughter Shalom, and then I myself on a board somewhere from London. And then she was looking at, you know, some of the beautiful scenery outside at night, you know, stars and, you know, the cities. And then there was a big city. But suddenly the voice came from heaven and said that, daughter, look out. When suddenly she looked out, and down there, very huge city. And 100,000 people gathered together. Many Caucasians, African-American, Asians and Latin American people get together, but mostly Caucasian. And they raised their hands and cried out. And there was real revival there, you know, the great revival taking place there. You know, and then she was seeing that I was speaking to the people. You know, as you know, I was born in Korea. The English is not my native language. This is not my primary language. You know, If you talk to me, sometimes, you know, I've got a problem in language, you know, so don't say a lot. Anyway, for me, you know, I know I'm perfectly limited, you know, ability, the many things. I didn't, you know, but in a dream, I was perfectly saying the people were blessed. And so she asked God, what is it? Suddenly in the sky, have you ever seen some of the like, you know, brightening or, you know, firing letter. You know, it's a firing letter, sprinkling letter on the sky, and it said in English alphabet, Boston. So she was very surprised. That's really Boston. And why did you say Boston? Your husband will go to Boston and start the great revival movement there. You know, she was very perplexed. You know why? She wants to join with me. She wants to join me, you know. Dad, we've been separate for 3 years because of God's commandments. But she said that, yes, Lord. She is a beautiful girl. She is a beautiful lady. She said always yes. So, and she called me from the Philippines to England and said, sweetheart, I have a dream. And she explained to me. And I was very, you know, deeply moved by the Holy Spirit about my way, what to do. And okay, and he said that, let's pray. So we prayed deeply. God has confirmed his calling. So, but deeply, I know, as you see, the way I went to the Philippines, I was struggling. Now, this is the second time. It's one of the hardest decisions. I know this is the calling of God, but I'm looking at myself. Ability, the capability, the gift, talents, money, contact, sponsor. Everything is nothing. I'm so comfortable to speak in Tagalog. Everybody notice me, I'm Filipino, if I'm saying their language. But if I'm saying English, everybody, pardon me? What did you say? You know, can you, in England, you know, the accent was very different. Yeah, I'm not like you. So I was so limited, but I cried deeply. Lord, why did you show Boston? But I want to say, I hate Boston, but I can say, you know. And I deeply cried. Why did you say? I wanted to say, but I can say. Do you understand what I mean? And I cried. And God said, son, go to Boston, and I'll be with you. So because of his commandments, that's why I was commenced and, you know, given the PhD doctorate in England. I came to the United States last year. During 1 year, I was deeply impoverished, and I was deeply stricken by, you know, loneliness, poverty, problem. I didn't have single cent to pay for my rent. I didn't have bread. I didn't have a car. I didn't have any enough money. But I did have one thing, my tears, my cries. That's the only things that I can give it to God. I cried and cried. Lord, you take me here. I know your beautiful things. And then, Brother Gareth Smith, you know, maybe the day as I saw him first time, that was also a very amazing thing happened to me. But then we'll make long story short, I met one brother in Christ. His name is Greg Detweiler. And I met him in the pastor's gathering in Boston. And I explained about my dream, what God has called me. He said that, brother, if you want to start revival movements, I want to introduce my friend. Who is he? Doc Hall. Do you know him? I don't know. He is very, very intelligent, and he is well known of choir revival. Maybe he will help you. So, would you please come to our Kyung class? You know, he asked me, why not? So he asked me, and then, you know, on Monday, I came to Kyung, and I was very surprised. You know what? Exactly 18 years ago, when I was taking a train, you know, birds, sometimes I was praying, I saw one man in my vision, very white guy, blue eyes, and I can figure out who he is because he often came and appeared on me and said, brother, I long to revival. I need your hands. Would you please give me hands and walk together? So he always said to me. So I thought he's real. So as I grabbed him, he disappeared. But he always often talked to me. So I can obviously think about him, his face and his eyes, his way of speaking, the English accent, you know, everything. As I came to Kyung, I saw the man. I saw the man. He was sitting there. So in the corner, you know, I took, and then I shake my hand. Lord, what am I seeing? What am I seeing? You know, the same person was sitting there after 18 years. So, you know, after the class, I came to him, and he said, you know, okay, and then we start talk. It's right. Same voice, same tune, same accent that I heard 18 years ago. Who can believe this, brothers and sisters? And he talks about choir revival. I am so much interested in the revival. So we talk about, and I had given my dissertation in the college 25 years ago. That was holistic thinking. That is a combination of philosophical, psychological, scientific, and physical elements together. He says about system thinking, same words. If there is no any strange things, we became friends in a very few minutes. And the Lord brought me to Emmanuel Gospel Center, start revival movement. And what happened this year by May, I was deeply prayed, and God said, the Son, I want to give you good news. And then, that was Monday morning. Monday afternoon, I've got a call from one person who has never met me or known of me, from Nevada. And then, the boy says in the calling, real calling, it's not dream, hello, are you Pastor Elijah Kim? Yes, I am. Yes, I've been praying for you for every day more than 3 hours. And you know, I said, so what do you need? The Lord spoke to me, said that I need to provide your needs. What do you need? You know, what can you say? I need a house, I need a car, I need money. Did I say it like that? No. You know, he said that, what do you need? And I said that, because what God trained me, don't ask of man, but ask of God. So I said that, I cannot say to you what I need. But in fact, in my mind, if someone can support me $100 per month, that's a blessing for me, you know. But I want to say, the Holy Spirit said, don't say what you need. And I cannot say to you what I need. And the person talked to me again. Okay, if you don't say, would you please tell me your prayer request? You know, prayer request is okay, right? Because you will pray. So, yes, what is your prayer request? And I said that, please pray for me, because I'm praying for a great revival in Boston, in England. And also I'm praying for my needs. I don't have any sponsor and support. So please pray for the support. And also, I'm always taking a train. It's really hard. Even for 9 months period, I had never gone to any grocery shop because it's far away from my house. I didn't have a car. Pray for about transportation. Yes, Pastor, and my husband and I will pray for you. On Monday, you will receive some letter from me, and then please do it for the glory of God. It was Friday night. Monday morning, what happened to me, I received a check from Nevada. In a check, $55,000 in a single check. And it says that the Lord spoke to me to provide you. Buy a car. You can see a car outside there. And then buy a grocery. And do it for the Lord. I want to support you every month as much as I can. She's really I didn't know still who she is. And then the miracle happened on June. So that was May, but promise, and then, you know, June began. So now I can take a car, I can do it, but it's not a matter. I'm desiring, longing for many souls coming back to God, exalting and glorifying our Almighty God, and every corner of the world will exalt the name of the Lord because of Abraham, because of Messiah, because of the name of the Lord. I hope that, and I truly believe that, and I pray that the people will come back to God and say, so this is my desire. You know, I have some of the understanding studying in England about Judaism, and you know, I know, as you come and confess Ezra, you confess the name of the Lord, what a beautiful you are. You know, I've been searching many synagogues in England. You know, I have never met any Jewish Christian there. Here, I can see you are like a jewel. You are like a, you know, a beautiful, precious stone in the eyes of the Lord. The last day, if Jewish people will come back to the Lord, and the day and day will come. Therefore, this is the last day. God promised everything, every corners of the world. He brought his people back to Israel. Don't you remember from Ethiopia, Russia, Eastern Europe, every corners of the world, they back to Israel. And that's physical, you know, physical returning. But I'm praying the true revival, like Nehemiah, you know, what he did, the people of Israel return to God and remember, you know, remember Torah and what he brought his people out of the Egypt in slavery and deliver them. And true deliverance and liberty for his people will be held in this day. The last day will come. So I'm you know, really happy when I see the brother Garrett and brother Odette, they are doing evangelism, you know. That was the beautiful, most beautiful time. Because if I see, if one people will come back to Christ, that cannot be compared to anything. So may the Lord bless you. If I commit some of the mistake, hoping to understand, but you know, you are so great in the Lord, and your work and your blessing will be multiplied. May the Lord bless you. Thank you, Father God, for the beautiful moments what you have done. We exalt your holy name, and we believe your people on every corners of the world will return to you and glorify your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.